Today's Gospel reading is taken from the Gospel written by Luke, chapter 10. And this is what is recorded. The Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. Jesus said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Jesus continued, "Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. And whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off and protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near to you.'" Jesus continued, "Whoever listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me, and whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me." Upon their return, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us." Jesus said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." May we be blessed by the hearing of these sacred words. When Jesus appointed the 70 disciples, I believe that he chose them because of their relationship to himself and their relationship to God. And they, in turn, chose Jesus because of Jesus' personality and Jesus' spirituality and also the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, they, as devout Jews of that time and the early Christians, most likely had memorized all the Psalms, literally all 150 Psalms. And one of the Psalms that we prayed this morning is Psalm 30. Now, we know that Jesus and the disciples prayed the Psalms. If you would recall, as recorded in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus and the disciples left the upper room after the foot washing at the Passover meal and the institution of the breaking of bread, Holy Communion, it is reported that Jesus and his disciples sang Psalms at that Last Supper. And the Psalms that they sang were probably Psalms 113 to 118 and Psalm 136. Now, as you well know, at this church, every Sunday, we either sing or recite a psalm. And the psalm liturgically assigned for this Sunday is Psalm 30. And as you know, the psalms are routinely sung or read at all Christian churches as part of their worship. Now, this psalm, and psalms are all different, this psalm is a solo psalm. It is a prayer of one person. Now, what happened is this praying person, this psalmist, calls upon others to join him in praising God. His call to others to join with him and share in his joy and share in his thanksgiving over what has been accomplished in his life. This shows his exuberance and his exuberant relationship with God, for he wants his friends to rejoice with him. Is an excitement. He prayed that God had drawn him up and did not allow his foes to rejoice over his situation. He reminded God in the psalm that he had cried to God for help and that God had healed him. Now, his sharing of his joy with others shows his relationship with other people, that there was a covenant between them. But there was also a covenant, a relationship between the psalmist and God, as clearly shown in Psalm 30. The psalmist cemented his covenant, even though the psalmist said at one point that God had concealed God's own face from him. And because God's face was hidden from him, he was dismayed. But then he proclaimed, "The Lord turned my mourning into dancing, and he clothed me with joy." You can almost hear the psalmist shouting when he tells us that his soul will praise God and that he will not be silenced. And yet, when you read the psalm, he did not take this all without a struggle. During the course of his life and his many problems, the psalmist also said this, "As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved." What he was really saying was this, when things were going great, I've got it made. I've got it in with God. But when God looked the other way, when God hid God's face, the psalmist recognized that he fell to pieces. The psalmist had recognized that he wanted health and prosperity, but God was not part of that. He projected God to be what he thought a God should be. He did not want to see God as God is, and he did not want to see himself as he was. A theologian, a man by the name of Arthur Weiser, said this, "We are wholly dependent upon God and have no protection from God." I think that Arthur probably summed up what the psalmist in Psalm 30 learned from his life experience as retold in Psalm 30. We have no protection from God. We are wholly dependent upon God. Now, when we look at the gospel reading and at the 70 disciples, we see that they were motivated to serve as active followers of Jesus. They were asked by Jesus to go out and, like John the Baptist, prepare the way for Jesus so that people in the villages would know that Jesus was coming. The instructions that Jesus gave to them were quite interesting. He asked them, first of all, to pray. Pray for laborers for God. And he told them that they were like lambs going out in the midst of wolves. In other words, there were going to be people who would not accept them and possibly even try to hurt them. They were not to carry money because they were to rely on God and God's people only for their sustenance. They were not to carry a suitcase or a backpack. They had no need for an extra pair of sandals or shoes. They were not to move from house to house looking for better meals or a softer bed. But rather, when they came to a house where they were accepted, they were to bless everyone in that house and announce that it was a house of peace. Now, the 70 may have been skeptical about the power that Jesus gave to them to bestow peace and cure the sick, and especially perhaps to survive in poverty and stay alive among wolves or enemies. Yet they must have also relied not only on Jesus and the personality and power of Jesus, but also on Isaiah in chapter 66 when Isaiah wrote, "The Lord's power shall be known to his servants." They then went out, and when they returned, they were jubilant. They were surprised at what they were able to accomplish in Jesus' name, for even the demons were subject to them. However, what they have had to have realized was that what they achieved was in Jesus' name. Paul well recognized the power of Jesus in Jesus' name when he wrote to the Galatians in chapter 6, and he wrote this, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ I extend to you." Paul understood that God is a force beyond ourselves, and Paul witnessed this within his own life, and he witnessed it very well, as shown through every book that he wrote, all his epistles and the letter to the Romans. Paul appreciated that through God's grace and mercy, the impossible is possible. And that's what the 70 experienced. The impossible became the actual. Now, they were all witnesses to Jesus. But we are witnesses to Jesus also. Because that was not the only time that Jesus sent out disciples. Jesus sends you and I out constantly. And we have the exact same instructions. First, pray for God's harvest. Pray for workers for his harvest. Travel light. And by the way, I should add, I just got back from the convention, National Convention in Alaska, and my first suitcase pack I went to a larger suitcase, and then my wife helped me, and I got down to 41 pounds in one suitcase. I learned to travel light. Next, Jesus said, get to the point, avoid small talk, which is probably what many of you are thinking to a preacher right now. He said, bring peace to homes you enter. Don't impose yourself on others. If they don't want you, move on. Form relationships with those around you. Don't flitter from one group to another without establishing a home. Work to heal the sick. And continue to tell people that the kingdom of God has come near you. Now, and if I may add, you can do this by your presence, even before you speak. And I think we all know that actions speak a lot louder than words ever will. So presence not only may be enough, presence may be what is called for. We are all sent ones. We are all part of that 70. Everyone here this morning, we follow in their footsteps, and we should make them proud. And we do so when we become one with Jesus as they did. As Isaiah said again in chapter 66, our bodies shall then flourish like grass. And if he knew Wisconsin in summertime and weeds and trees. What Jesus said to the 70, he will say to you also, I know what you did. I saw Satan fall out of the sky like lightning. I've given you the ability to walk over demons, given you protection from the enemy, and no one can put a hand on you. And then Jesus will also say, all the same, the great triumph is not in your authority over evil, but in God's authority over you and God's presence within you. For it's not what you do for God, but what God does for you and through you that will give you the right to rejoice. And that is the reason for rejoicing. Let us pray. Lord God, may we extol you like the psalmist and rejoice with him. Let us, like the psalmist, not be silent, but praise you with shouts. And may our souls dance, and may we be clothed with joy. Let us, like Paul, not grow weary in doing what is right. And like Paul, hope that we will reap eternal life from the Spirit. Let us, Lord, we pray, like the 70 disciples, accept the call to be witnesses to Jesus. Let us go forth and announce that God's kingdom is near by our presence and by our action. And let us rejoice that Jesus has called us to work in his holy name.